Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Turn with me, please, to chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We've been talking about the high priest, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were asking ourselves the question last week, why do I even need, this microphone and me? Walter asked to turn it up so you can hear me today. Why do we even need a high priest to represent us in heaven? Many people think they can get along through life without Jesus Christ. They think they're perfectly happy. They're able to survive. And in fact, many of them may even have no seeming fear of even dying. And yet they're living their life apart from Jesus Christ. Why do I need somebody to represent me before God as a priest? Maybe you remember that last week we mentioned that the priesthood of Jesus Christ is different than the priesthood that people, the Jewish people, were accustomed to in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you remember the priests all had to be born from the tribe of Levi, and specifically in the tribe of Levi, from the line of Aaron. And so we would say they're all Aaronic high priests. And then the priesthood of Jesus Christ is of the order of Melchizedek rather than the order of Aaron. We noted in verses 16 and 17 that Jesus Christ had a perfect and permanent priesthood. In the fourth place, he brought a better hope. Through Jesus Christ, there is not only forgiveness, but there's a gift of eternal life and the promise of entry into heaven. And finally, we noted in verse 19, Jesus Christ brings us into the very presence of God. Follow along, if you would, please, while I begin to read in verse 20. I'll read down through the end of the chapter. Hebrews 7, 20. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he, Jesus Christ, was made priest. For those priests, the Levitical priests, the Old Testament, those priests were made without an oath. But this, Jesus Christ, with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much more was Jesus made a surety of a better testament or covenant. And they truly, the Old Testament priests, were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. You know, they had to quit being a priest because they died. But this man, Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, and only had to do it once, when he offered up himself on the cross of Calvary. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, which God did, maketh the Son who was consecrated forevermore. Why do I need Jesus as my heavenly high priest? Wouldn't somebody else do just as well? You know, couldn't I pick out Don McCartan or Armando Canedo? Wouldn't that work? Or how about Stan Johnson? Or maybe Gil Small? Couldn't I have one of those to be my high priest? No. No. There has to be a particular person that stands between me and God, and that person has to be perfect. Now, Don is terrific. I like Don. We've spent a lot of time together over these 15 and a half years that I've been here at Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. But I would have to say Don is not perfect, and he would look at me and he'd have to say Pastor Anderson is not perfect either. We need a perfect high priest to represent us to God. Well, let's note in the first place in verse 20 here that not without an oath was Jesus made priest. Now let's take those negatives out. He was made a priest, our high priest, by an oath. And this is God making the oath. And that oath is spelled out in Psalm 110, verse 4, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And God takes an oath upon himself. Some of you have been in courts, and they ask you, are you willing to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And they make you hold up your right hand. It used to be that they would put your right hand on the Bible. They don't do that anymore. I wish they did. But on taking an oath upon yourself, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? But when God takes an oath, there's nobody that's any greater than God, so he has to take an oath upon himself. And so God made Jesus Christ a high priest. I need Jesus Christ for my high priest because he was chosen by God, not men. Did you ever know a man to make a mistake? Decisions that sometimes are made are not wise decisions. All of us have done some of those foolish things. I don't know about me telling you, I had to have a certain automobile, a certain one. It had to be this one. I bought that car. Every time anything leaked on the ground, it wasn't oil, it wasn't water, it wasn't gasoline, it was lemon juice. That car was a lemon from the very first. I replaced all kinds of things on that poor car. And it still wasn't what it should have been. But I had driven down the street knowing that I wanted to replace our car. I saw this automobile for sale, private party, and I saw it and I had to have it. Well, you've made bad decisions too. But God never makes a bad decision. God knew exactly the right person to represent you in heaven. And he chose Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. God chose Jesus Christ. That's why I need him, because he was the right choice. Sometimes people go through very difficult adjustments in married life because the choice perhaps was a difficult choice. And as they think back, maybe they should have said, well, I should have married person A rather than person B. You really can't change history. but sometimes people make decisions that are not wise. But God always makes the right decision. I need Jesus Christ because God chose him to represent me in heaven. Look in verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety or a guarantee of a better testament or covenant. Now, he represents not the old covenant of the law. Can you imagine having to live under a system of laws in which there were over 600 commandments that you were responsible to obey every day of your life? People say, oh, there was only 10 commandments. 10 commandments, the 10 commandments were the moral code. It was the center, perhaps. But the Old Testament law was 600 plus commandments. Now, if you find it hard to pass an automobile driver's license test, that is nothing. Can you imagine having to pass a test on 600 commandments? Do this, don't do that. What do you do if a certain situation arises? For example, people who were caught robbing had to replace what they stole plus an added percentage. You couldn't just say, uh-oh, I'm sorry, I stole a dollar from you. I borrowed it and didn't pay you back. You'd have to, if you were a robber or a thief, you'd have to pay that plus a greater percentage. You'd have to memorize 600 commandments. Some of you got great memories. Some of us struggle with it. I have struggled with street names and telephone numbers down through the years. My wife can just memorize telephone numbers like that. I have to write it down in front of me. And when she tells me to dial a number, she'll only give me about 3 numbers at a time so I don't make a mistake. I struggle with that. I have a good forgetter. But I'm so glad I don't live under the Old Testament law of 600 commandments. Now, Jesus came as a surety, as a guarantee of a new covenant. It hasn't been established yet, but it's promised. Look with me in Jeremiah 31 in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. And let's see how this wonderful covenant takes shape. Jeremiah 31, 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, the Mosaic law, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant, listen to this now, that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Wow. In that day, the millennium, in that day, people are not going to have to memorize it. It's going to be a transplant. Zap. They're going to know God's directions for their lives. I will write my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. No teachers or preachers will be necessary. Why? Because they will automatically know it. Amazing. You Sunday school teachers, you can sit back You don't have to worry about kids paying attention, about adults thinking about everything from the roast in the kitchen oven to the flat tire that they had last week. They'll automatically know it. Amazing. That's the new covenant that Jesus promised. Now, it hasn't happened yet, but it will. Jesus Christ, the great heavenly high priest, represents a better covenant. And back in our text this morning in Hebrews chapter 7, you're looking with me at verse 23. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death, but this man, Jesus Christ, continueth ever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Any of you ever have changed doctors? You got acquainted with the old doctor, or maybe he was young, but you had to change doctors. Maybe you moved, or maybe your previous doctor moved, or maybe he retired. Well, you know, there's something that the doctor-patient relationship has that is more than what he writes on paper. I sat with my dentist this week for an hour, and we talked and shared. There were times I didn't talk. He had his hands in my mouth. But changing dentists, when it was all over, he sat down and wrote about two or three sentences about what happened at the dentist's office and what's going to happen at the dentist's office. But we must have talked for 25 minutes. Now, imagine if something would happen to him and I would have to take those records to a different dentist. He wouldn't have the benefit of the 25 minutes that I spent with the dentist talking, dealing with some things. But what would it be like if you never had to change doctors, you never had to change dentists? Now, Jesus Christ, as our high priest, is not going to die. He will always be the one to represent you before God in heaven. He doesn't get obsolete. He doesn't take a vacation. Jesus Christ is constantly there. The third reason why I need a heavenly high priest is because my high priest, Jesus Christ, will never need a replacement. God's oath secured for Jesus Christ is permanent installation in the priestly office. I'm wearing a flower today that I received because I participated in the program yesterday of the installation of Pastor Benny Ross at South Vermont Avenue Baptist Church. Benny is unusual. Normally, if church calls a man a little younger, he's in his 70s. And they decided, we want this man to be our pastor. But unless the Lord returns and the rapture occurs, sooner or later, Benny's going to die. They're going to have another pastor. And then if the Lord doesn't come, that pastor will either move or die. There is that constant turnover. I have the privilege of pastoring a church which has a history of long pastoral tenure. The founding pastor of the church stayed for many years. And then later on, Dr. George Hunt, that many of you know, came here and he served the church for a decade. And Pastor Don DeBoer came, he served the church for a decade. That's much longer than the average pastor. These men averaged 10 years ministering to the same church. And you've been gracious and patient with me. And in April, we will celebrate 16 years as pastor of this congregation. But there will come a time, unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns from glory, take us with him to heaven, there'll come a time that I will no longer be able to serve. Now, Benny sort of puts me to shame. He's in his mid-70s, just starting his pastoral ministry there, and I'm not sure if I can last that long to the point that I'm in my mid-70s or not. I'm 65 right now. Hopefully my voice will recover. Now, Jesus Christ is the perfect one to represent me to God because he's not going to die. He's not going to need to be replaced. He is a permanent high priest. And there's a fourth reason why Jesus Christ is the perfect high priest for you and for me. I note in verse 25, wherefore he, Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The fourth reason that Jesus Christ is the perfect high priest for you and for me is that he assures us, he confirms, he guarantees that our salvation is permanent. He assures us he's going to save us to the uttermost. Well, what is the uttermost? What's the ultimate? What's the last possible moment in eternity? Well, you can't even compute eternity. Jesus Christ is going to save me and keep me safe throughout this life and throughout eternity to come. He is able to save me to the uttermost. That's why he's the best high priest. Now, three things. Number one, he's my intercessor. He's going to pray for me. Every time I stumble and fall, he prays for me. Now, that's exactly what I need. I don't need to have somebody attack me when I stumble and fall. I need somebody to pick me up. And it says right here, he ever liveth to make intercession for them, for you and me, that have placed our faith in Christ. So he confirms our salvation as irrevocable by his ministry as intercessor. Look in the next verse, 26. There's another reason why he confirms my salvation. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. His flawless character underscores the fact that our salvation is irrevocable. He is not going to sin. He's not going to be kicked out of the office of high priest because he does something bad. He's going to be able to represent you and me before God permanently. I don't need anybody else. He is sufficient. His flawless character. And then finally, verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests who offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. He confirms our salvation is irrevocable and his perfect sacrifice assures it. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a perfect sacrifice. It was sufficient to pay for the sins of everybody. Now, I have to accept that payment. That has to be a personal choice. But it is sufficient for all men, all women, all people. Anybody who wants to can accept Jesus Christ into their life and receive eternal life and be saved. It is sufficient for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him did not perish but have everlasting life. In fact, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 spells out for us the extent of Christ's death. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for almost every man. No, for every man. Jesus Christ died for every person who has ever been born or ever will be born on the face of the earth. His salvation, his sacrifice was sufficient for everyone. Can anybody say, well, I'm not going to go to heaven because Jesus didn't die for me? No, nobody can give that excuse. Because Jesus Christ died for all of us. He paid the price so that anybody who wants to become a Christian, anybody who wants to become God's child, can do so. Why do I need Jesus Christ as my great high priest? Number one, because he was chosen by God. It wasn't one of man's mistakes. It was God's perfect choice. Secondly, because he represents a perfect covenant that deals with life from the inside rather than the outside. Thirdly, I need him because he will never need a replacement. His priesthood is permanent. He never has to retire, never get sick, never goes on a vacation. And the fourth reason, because he confirms our salvation to the uttermost. He's my intercessor, his flawless character assures it, and his perfect sacrifice guarantees it. Jesus Christ is my perfect go-between between God and man. I take in two verses and I close. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 2:5. The first epistle to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one person that can adequately represent you and me to God. And that is Jesus Christ. And then the second verse, 1 John. The first epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, John writes, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He stands between God. He represents me, a human, to God, because he is both human and divine. My perfect high priest. Now, is he everybody's high priest? No. How does he become your high priest? We need to believe on, receive, accept, place our confidence in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior. It is a decision. It is a choice. People can choose to do so, or they can ignore accepting Christ, and then they're going to have to stand before God on their own, and God will have to banish them throughout eternity from his presence. The only way you and I have any hope with God at all is by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. We accept the fact that he died for our sin, that he was buried, that he rose again, the scriptures say, the third day. And he is the one that I place my total confidence in. I accept him. I trust him. I rely upon him. I lean upon him. I cast myself on his mercy, because he died for me and for my sin. It's a decision. if you have made it, you're God's child. And Jesus Christ is your representative in heaven. If you have not made that decision, Jesus Christ does not represent you to God. You have no representative. You have no advocate. You have no mediator. You have no Savior. You have no hope. Which would you rather choose? Hope or hopelessness? Heaven or hell? The choice is obvious. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in thanksgiving, thanking you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become our Savior and our High Priest. We pray, Lord, that you might help each one who has already made that decision to trust Christ to rejoice in their representation in heaven. And of course, as we pray in Jesus' name, because we come to you in the behalf of Jesus Christ, our Savior and High Priest. Father, may we rejoice. May it give us assurance in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, if by perchance there are some here today who have not made that decision yet to personally receive Jesus Christ into their own life, to rely upon Him, to trust Him as their Savior, the one to give them eternal life, may today be that day of decision. We know, Lord, that you offer to us your wonderful gift of eternal life. And it is a gift through Jesus Christ. I pray, Heavenly Father, that today we might just look into our own hearts to see, have I received that gift as a result of coming to God in prayer and asking for eternal life and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Father, if there's anyone that wants us to pray with them, to help them, we pray that today they might determine this is the day to settle it once and for all. And since it's a one-time thing, when a person becomes God's child, you never take away that status of childhood, of being your son or daughter, from that person. Thank you, Father, for this privilege that we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, even as we sing this closing song, I pray that if there are those that say, I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior, you might give them the courage to just slip out of their seat, make their way to the front, so that either myself or one of our other personal workers here can talk with them and pray with them and help them in that decision. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, the great High Priest. In Jesus' name, amen.